39-31, your final score. The offense put up 24 points. Special teams put up 7. And your defense put up 7 with Hightower and special teams and defense scoring the other points. 38-31, your final score. You know, we were just talking about what they have to do, and the biggest killer in this game, and I don't think we've spent much time talking about it. We've discussed it, but we haven't spent a lot of time talking about it, because if your defense is going to be so-so, and I'm not sure you can have great defense in this league anymore. I just don't think it exists based on the rules, and we've discussed enough of that. So your offense has to be very, very, very good. Your defense can be okay. Your offense has got to be really, really good, and you've got to outscore these other teams. And if you're looking at any team right now, because Jacksonville is out of the mix, at least for now. Maybe when Leonard Fournette comes back, maybe they're a little bit better offensively. Is Kansas City is your chief right now? If you're looking at it, the competition you got
to
worry about.
That's interesting you just said that.
Chief. Very good, Fred. I like that.
See how you work.
I didn't mean that. I didn't mean it that way, but I like the way you picked up on it. Yeah. And what do? They're trying to outscore everybody. They're on tonight against Cincinnati. Right. They're just trying to outscore everybody. Their defense sucks. So the Patriots have to get certainly better defensively, but they're not going to be the 85 Bears. They don't have to be a great defense.
Never be the 85 Bears.
Except the offense now is really going to be challenged if Sony Michel is out for a long period of time, or, God forbid, he's out for the season.
Agreed.
Then you have a real problem offensively, don't you, guys?
You're not going to have James White in there for 60 snaps.
That's not what he does. He's really a third-down player that you can kind of extend onto another passing down.
As long as you've got a complimentary running back that can carry a little bit more of the load like Sony Michel. A
couple more screens, right? Middle screens, wide screens, make up a little more passing game with the lack of a running back.
That means James White's in the game.
You know what you're doing with James White? You're running motion like all the other teams do, and you give him that little shovel pass, that 6-inch pass that he gave him that looks like a run.
Was that a touchdown pass for Brady?
That was.
It was only 2 yards.
Should that count?
But it's better than having him pounding running when you're out on a passing game.
You're making excuses right now. The Sony Michel injury
hurts.
I
understand that. But I'm not putting a little black hat on and crying like you are.
I'm not sitting here crying.
What is a black hat?
I don't look good in hats. My head's too fat. It's too big. I can't fit it.
What does that have to do with crying, little black hat?
I have no idea.
He puts a little black Broadway hat on. No, I'm crying.
It's just
eating. You're eating too excessive.
I'm just getting more insight to Fred's head. But I do.
It's because
there's no backup.
If any team is equipped to deal with it, it's of course the Patriots, because we've seen them deal with bigger injuries. But again, you're going to have to find somebody, whether it's Barner or somebody, that's going to have to take some anywhere from 14-15 carries.
And all right, but what about the practice squad?
Well,
the one kid was on there.
If they were better than Barner, wouldn't they be on there right now?
Yeah. Well, maybe they went out. They went outside the organization
just to have a backup, because they don't have a backup.
Fred, they went outside the organization to get Barner because they thought he was better than anything they had in the practice squad. But
that's right. But what I'm saying is now you have to have a backup to take some of the pressure off the running back.
But look at what Sony Michel has done over the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks with this team. He has opened everything up for your play action for Brady, because you can now sell the run. There is a serious threat that the Patriots can run the ball down your throat. And this kid can break it, too. Now, is Barner that threat? I mean, Barner,
Burkett was close to be coming back?
No.
Not close. He's going to be done for the year?
I don't know. I
mean, he's an alternate. He runs pretty well. He can catch the ball.
Neck injury is brutal to deal with. I mean, you just don't know. That's one of those scary injuries.
So that would be one of the hopes. If he doesn't come back, then they have to go fishing for somebody. And what are you going to pull up from the reservoir?
And it did not look good. He went into the tent. From the tent, they carted him to the locker room. So he was not able to walk to the locker room on his own. That's not a real good sign. And this is a kid that has had knee problems. Okay, he's had this problem before.
And that was one of those injuries that everybody watching the game went, simultaneously, because it just didn't look good.
Huge blow. So we can look at the game.
So there's no update on what's wrong with him.
It's a lower body injury.
Call Bill.
He's got a lower body injury.
I'll talk to him tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He still won't tell me.
He'll give you the hairy eyeball.
He still won't tell me.
He'll tell Lou.
Yeah, you may not know. He won't tell Lou. He hates Lou, I think. We'll find out maybe by Wednesday or Thursday. Maybe. I don't know. It just did not look good. It's one of those things that you look at and say, without him, it makes it more challenging. The point I was trying to make is, you need to have an explosive offense. You need to be multidimensional in your offense to be able to win these games, because it's clearly this league is about just simply outscoring the other opponent. Defense, forget about it. It's not about stopping people. It's about, okay, they just scored.
Defense is about limiting.
And look at an offense like the Patriots or Kansas City. You got to have three, minimum two, but you got to probably have three viable high-end targets. You can't just have two targets. You can't just, between Tyreek Hill and Kelce and if Sammy Watkins is any good and Hunt, they've got guys that can catch the ball. I mean, that if you've got one wide receiver, you know, and maybe a half decent tight end, you're up the creek, because teams will be able to take away. If you only have one and a half threats, teams can take that away.
Oh, that's right. But the Patriots, luckily, hopefully Gronk will be healthy, and then you have a bunch of threats.
I wasn't down talking the Patriots by saying that.
No, I understand, but if Gronk gets hurt and your back gets hurt.
I didn't try to say that, you know.
I'm trying to elaborate on what you were trying to say as your mother.
I wasn't taking a shot at the Patriots.
So if Gronk gets hurt, it's like an automatic reflex.
Did you notice he's got that automatic reflex?
Brookhead can't come back. Best. Right? And Michelle is hurt, you got some problems.
Agreed. Thank you, Fred.
You're welcome.
It only took you 10 minutes to come to that conclusion.
Eat your potato chips.
That was what we wanted to talk about here during the segment.
I know you did, because you're the purveyor of doom.
Purveyor of what?
Doom.
Here's Cal and Quincy. Hello, Cal.
Gentlemen, that's a huge blow.
Huge.
I think that this kid really developed a great personality in that locker room. He's got leadership qualities. He hits the ball high.
What?
I don't know about that.
Sony Michel,
he has running qualities.
What, what made you think that about his leadership qualities?
The tension that he got going off the field, Fred. Like, I think it's
they do that? Everybody.
You know, I think they really...
Oh, they like him, but he's not a leader of the pack.
Well...
But that's okay. Maybe
that's his leadership. Listen, whatever. I'll take what you say. That's fine. His impact is what they're going to miss on the field. Exactly. Don't worry about the leadership issues that he may or may not have or whatever. They're going to miss the fact that this kid had started playing good football, and over the past three games, he was averaging about 100 yards a game.
I really thought he might be rookie of the year at his pace. What he was doing.
There's a few other guys out there.
I see a lot coming out of the kid. It's too bad to see him go down like that.
I would agree with that. The impact of losing him is gigantic. I don't know about the leadership ability, the qualities. With this team, it's very difficult.
He's leading by his actions.
Yeah, for a rookie to come in there and suddenly be a leader. But what I think he misses is those 100-yard running performances. The fact that Tom Brady can't sell your run, so therefore
helps your line.
You have trouble selling the play action. If you got James White back there, it's difficult to sell.
Not a great runner.
The play action. Paul is in Westfield. Hi, Paul.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Hey, Paul.
It's a wild season. In today's last play, where they basically, if they just got that touchdown and got 2 points, could have won. All the mistakes and odd special teams thing. It's just real quirky. So there's clearly good things. When White goes...
Well,
you won, Ryan.
You know what I mean? Some places people play bad and they lose. This team happens to play bad, but they're good enough to overcome it offensively.
I know, it's so ironic.
Yeah, it is.
With White, 7 plays, that's a lot. Remember, he did a lot for us last year. He ran all the way downfield with the running game. That's still there. Look at how important Josh Gordon is looking. I honestly can't remember seeing a receiver who has that ability to shake people and then spin. He's really so much more physically dominant.
But Randy Moss.
This guy's stronger than Randy Moss.
Yeah, I think he is. But you're right. But nobody, I don't think anybody ever doubted this kid's talent. That was what was so frustrating about him being suspended all the time. It was a tremendous, it wouldn't have been a story if he was an average or mid-level player who gets suspended as much as he did. Matter of fact, a mid-level player doesn't get the chances that he got. That's what made everybody understood how talented a player he was. Now it's just a matter of taking that talent and focusing it towards something.
As far as talent goes, he'd probably be in the top 2% of talented receivers in the league.
Oh, easily.
Not that he's just physically. You look at him; he's full of muscles.
Yeah, but nobody,
you know,
nobody doubts that.
No, I understand but rarely you get a guy, even if he doesn't perform well, his upside is tremendous. We haven't even seen close to
him. Yeah, but Fred, the biggest problem you have with him is, can you trust him from week to week? Do you know he's going to show up on Sunday?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Who's he sitting next to in the locker room?
Brady.
Brady.
I'm not
sure. Who's all the pressure come on? Brady.
Brady.
Gronk. Edelman.
It's not
he's
even
part of the group now.
Brady. Let me talk to Steve because you're making no sense.
Brady,
right,
you're just
keep portion of the program where you're
from
make
Babylon
because no
that's what you're doing.
But Tom Brady.
I'm from what?
Babylon.
Tom Brady.
Brady. It's about Brady.
Brady.
How old is that, Chelsea? That's Babylon. They must have probably the last time Babylon actually was Babylon.
Is it possible to be the best and the worst at the same time? Because Fred is the best as he is absolutely
unbelievable.
He's the best.
But Steve, it's not even Josh Gordon after dark. This is a guy who came out and admitted that he was either high or drunk for virtually every single game he played for with the Cleveland Browns.
Right.
If you were Cleveland, wouldn't you drink?
Do you trust him?
Good point.
Week to week? Because talent-wise, they need him.
Yeah, absolutely right.
They need him.
Not even a question. And it's hard to...
I don't drink at all.
It's hard to think that
calls on the phone.
That the talent
Paul,
level that
Paul's
you have
his life.
The talent level that you have is or that you bring to the team is contingent on what quite honestly for the last 3-4 years has been a thin line, he's
self-inflicted.
Right.
That's what it is. And you understand because a kid had anxieties and it's not like he's just partying drinking, he had problems. And a part of it you had mentioned, it was a good point you mentioned the first time this year. That he was the highlighted athlete in Cleveland.
Yeah, he said he didn't
pressure
like
was
that.
On it. Now he sits next to Tom and Gronk and Edelman and all these other guys, and he doesn't feel that pressure.
Okay, but wouldn't you if let's just take the Patriots out of the equation? What if you heard a receiver say, "Oh, I don't like the pressure of being the guy"? What would you say about that guy?
He's honest.
No, soft. You wouldn't.
He's
no,
not
you
elite.
Wouldn't. You would call him soft, and you know you would.
You would.
But some, I have. You know what? I've softened.
But because you softened the day that he signed with the
just
Patriots.
Just because all the trash I talked to players, all right. I put on myself.
Dude, I'm telling you, that's what you would have said. If some player,
I would have said that.
If some player
but
had
now
said,
"I understand. I
don't.
Children.
You know, I'm so talented, but I don't really appreciate the pressure."
I would have loved to have heard what he said like about that. This guy before he put on a Patriots uniform. Because you're right.
I
he would have said all the opposite things.
Of course.
So, until I understand the truth. Once I dive into this and find out what's
your
really going on,
it's all about your truth.
You get to know a guy. You get to know a guy, and you feel different.
That's right. Back with you on the Brink Show. I hate your guts.
You get to know more cops. I think that's your goal in life. 617-779.
1 mile an hour of the speed limit.
793-7. We're back with your phone calls right after this. Time right now for the Wise Play of the Game. It's being brought to you by Wise Snacks and their Ridgies Tailgate Classic.
Brady.
Trying to get scooped up by New England, and they do. Going in for the touchdown, Van Noy. Patriots go in front on special teams. Dante Hightower comes firing through for New England.
Wow.
Did you play of the game? He blocked punt, returned for a touchdown. Hightower with the block, and first time it's happened for the New England Patriots since Teddy Bruschi did it in 1996. That's a long time ago. The Wise Play of the Game being brought to you by Wise Snacks Ridgy Tailgate Classics. Look for the new Buffalo Wings. That's Fred's favorite. And the dry rub rib flavors at your local store. All right, 617-779-7937. I'll update you on what's going on with the late games. Drew Brees has just thrown his 501st career touchdown pass with 5 minutes left in the game. And the Saints have just taken a 21-17 lead over the Ravens in Baltimore. The Rams are beaten up on the 49ers, 32-10. There's 2:37 left in the third. And the Redskins are on top of the Cowboys, 13-7 right now.
Cowboys marching.
Cowboys are marching right now, and they've just begun the fourth quarter in that game.
Cowboys
all the
Indians.
Others are all finals today. Joe is in Melrose next up on the Real Post
Game Joe.
Show. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Doing all right, my brother.
I think, obviously, I'm disappointed to see Sonny Michel get hurt and for a long time, but I think the Patriots are still going to be able to run the ball. I mean, basically, when you have to defend Brady with Edelman, Gronk, and Josh Gordon now, you have to play almost a nickel almost all the time.
Right.
And then Brady can just audible to a run. So I think it's going to be the offensive line blocking against the nickel. It's going to create rushing yards.
But if they have a nickel, they're more susceptible to the run.
Exactly.
Right.
That's what he was just saying.
I know. Let's spread it out.
That's what he said. He thinks they're going to be able to run because they're going to be in passing.
But they'll have to bring some
packages.
Bigs in.
What's that?
They have to bring the bigs in.
But you got to. But still, Joe, you got to have somebody who can run.
Yep.
And Michelle was getting to the point where didn't you think he gave you a major?
He's
Riz Lewis.
And he he looked great, but that's Tennessee. What I mean. Like, Deion Lewis came out of nowhere, and you could get another back. Like, I mean, Banter looked pretty good today.
He's not the same.
He's an average running back.
If your tight ends are blocking cornerbacks and safeties, or your offensive linemen, then it almost – I'm not saying it doesn't exactly matter. I mean, you might – drop from like 5 yards a rush to like 4.5 yards a rush.
Well, you're saying the Patriots are equipped to handle this more than some teams
scheming
would.
Scheming it
because of the offensive weapons, the passing weapons.
Yeah, because you have to play defense against the pass first.
I can see that.
Yeah.
That's going to help. Yeah, I would agree with you.
That's what we always talk about, Steve, because they're so versatile. Yeah. They can scheme to most losses and protect their offense. You know what I'm saying?
The only time I would think they'd have an issue is at the end of the game when they're trying to close out a game and the other team has their
goal line.
That could be an issue too. Goal line.
Which is probably two or three times a year. You know, I mean, for the most part.
No, the Patriots would be like.
No. I'm talking about when they actually need to just kill the clock and, you know, keep the other team off the field. I'm saying. Patriots are blowing teams out. See, you jumped up on me right away.
But Steve, you can use anybody to actually do that. I'm not worried about that because, you know, that's not an issue. But the issue that I think is the biggest one is that Brady with the play action is as good as there is in the game.
Agreed.
Okay?
So you got to have the threat.
You got to have that threat to be able to pull it off.
Yep.
So what?
Devlin.
So there's one thing about...
you can't catch. No, I'm only joking.
There's one thing about looking at it and saying Brady scares the hell out of me if you're a defensive coordinator, saying he can throw the ball all over the place.
Right.
There's another if you're throwing in the wrinkle of the running game and you have a running back of the ilk of a kid like Sony Michel, that becomes a real difficult way of stopping New England's offense.
Agreed. And think about it this way. What if you tell your D-line and you got a pretty good pass rush, don't worry about the run.
Right.
Don't worry about the run. Yeah. That guy, they don't have anybody on the running game that's going to hurt us that bad. You get after that guy. Get after number 12.
I think it makes it easier to stop the New England offense.
There's a residual effect. You're absolutely correct.
I got a feeling Burkett's coming back soon.
You know, absolutely.
Just made it up.
Do you have a feeling or a wish?
I don't want to give away my guys, but it's the people in place down there.
Your people.
My people. My
people. Where?
Your people.
You don't want to know down there. Not as low as I'll.
Who's your guy? The team caterer?
You know what? They'll tell a kid cater anything if you give them the food.
Your people couldn't even get you in this building. You were locked out for 10 minutes.
You were supposed to be my people.
Had a rough day.
That's a note.
Hey, some people sensed with about 7 or 8 minutes left in the game that you come back to the station. You know, we were over at CNA? Is that what it's called?
That's
a great place. We love those guys over there. And we were over there watching the game, and it was terrific. And some people had the sense to say, I got to come back because there's a proper speed limit.
Right.
And the streets.
Drive in control.
It's 35 miles an hour, 30 miles an hour. You stop in school zones down to 20.
Right.
I follow all of the laws.
I'm with you, my friend. Okay? Steve was behind me.
I gave myself plenty of time to come back here. Other people sat there and said, I'm going to stay here, get a couple more puffs on my stogie, and I'll leave with about 2 or 3 minutes left. And then, you know, they get stopped.
Steve was behind me.
You know?
I was 200 yards behind you because I wasn't going that fast.
Some people waved as he drove by.
I was 200 yards behind you.
One of the lights in my back of my bike was out.
Some people figure it out. you excited about the World Series?
Who's in the World Series?
Red Sox and the Dodgers.
Red Sox.
In the World Series. The
Fred Sox.
The Red Sox.
I was surprised how easy they beat
Houston?
Texas, yeah.
Yeah.
I was surprised. I thought the bats were silent. They had plenty of opportunities. They couldn't do it.
So the other part of the equation was it wasn't – the big part of the lineup that was doing the damage.
Yeah. I mean, Bradley Jr.
That's where it came from. Yeah, and that was surprising as much as anything. If you saw JD and Mookie and those guys tearing it up, you're like, okay, now you understand why they were able to win in five games. But when you've got the back end of your lineup making those plays, and then you got reasonable relief too, and of course Price giving you six innings like you never saw in any of his playoff games before. So, I mean, that put all that stuff together, and that's how you...
Houston had a lot of opportunities to score, and they just couldn't get the consecutive hits. It was like, I thought I'd see a better... The Yankees was a better game.
I think the biggest part, though, of what they've got going is Houston was a real cocky team, really overly confident. Alex Cora knew that because he worked with them a year ago. And I think he's developed that type of attitude with this team. I thought the Red Sox were the cocky team. I thought they were the more confident team. They were the more the team that screw you. How many big hits did they have with two outs?
Right.
That's just strapping them on and saying, I don't get.
But they were methodical. They just came down.
Well, they come in waves at you. Yeah. That lineup comes in waves. The amazing thing to me is you still have not seen the Mookie Betts that you saw during the regular season. You still have not seen the J.D. Martinez. The stats are a little bit deceiving because he had a few hits in that last game. But you still haven't seen that yet. I've got to believe that Betts and J.D. Martinez are going to come up bigger. I love the fact that they're facing a marquee team. They're facing a team that you can develop enemies with. I mean, people here in Boston are going to hate Manny Machado. They're going to hate Yasiel Puig. They're going to hate him.
Who's favored?
The Red Sox. And I personally, I think this is going to be a short series. I don't think it's going long at all. I think the Red Sox are just a much better team.
Yeah.
And a lot of it depends, obviously, on Sale. What's Sale going to be like? And what is Price? Are you going to get anything close to what you got out of Price the other night in two games in the series, a potential two games? If you do, it's over. It's
agreed.
Over.
Agreed. And even if Houston won the series, they'd have been favored over the Dodgers.
Yes, they
would
have.
So
yeah.
Whoever came out of the American League in that situation.
Houston was favored in the whole tournament. Well,
they were favored against the Red Sox, too. Yeah. But, Price, the first thing you heard from the naysayers about Price was, okay, well, yeah, they were up 3-1. Of course he's going to pitch like that. There's no pressure. The pressure does get amped up now.
Yeah.
You're one step close to that championship. The pressure gets amped up. Does he get some confidence from the way he pitched? Does he understand that he's capable of pitching very well in a big situation?
Well, you tell me, you guys both played professional sports. There are certain athletes out there that thrive in pressure, and we know all their names because they're embedded in our mind of our sports memories, and there are other guys that just piss their pants when the big moment is there. And when you finally are able to shed it, as Price was the other night, you can sit there and say, well, how much pressure was there? He was playing with house money. They didn't have to win that game. It's still
a win.
He's
still
able to
win.
Get the monkey off his back, and I'm wondering if that's where you finally are able to process, you know what? This is not that difficult. I can do this. This is not a big problem. If you finally get over that, guys that get absorbed with the pressure, if you can finally get over that, do you shed it? Is that it? Do you move on?
It can happen. It does happen. And we've all seen that happen with certain guys. It doesn't happen with all of them, though. You can see some guy who's always found a way to not be significant in big situations, then all of a sudden he does. He had to eventually. I mean, what was his 12th start in the playoffs?
12 times.
Eventually, he had to show up. There was no two ways about it.
With 9 years now.
He's
Steve.
Too talented a pitcher to not show up.
That's the thing. He's a terrific pitcher. He's one of the best five pitchers in the decade, right? In Major League Baseball.
A lot of head cases. You know what, though, Steve? It's the people that can blot things out. The Patriots are, we're in the next game. Go to the playoffs.
Well, Tom Brady's the best example of that. David Ortiz, best example.
David Ortiz, tremendous.
When you go in, if you just focus on what you have to do and don't broaden the parameters, now I can do much more. Then you stop concentrating on what you have to do. And that's what happened to a lot of guys. They think, I got to do better. I got to do more. Then you lose what you're supposed to do.
He wasn't good the other night. He was freaking great.
He was.
He was brilliant.
Well, that's why you think, okay, that could be more of a stepping stone to something else, because he didn't just get by. It would have been one thing to just get by and
get a lot of offensive support.
Five and a third.
Yeah, that wasn't easy.
No, it wasn't easy.
He got one run, then he had to come back, and what did he do the very next inning? 1-2-3 inning.
Yeah,
then they got three for him in the sixth. What did he do? 1-2-3 inning.
Right. That there has the markings of something that could propel him to something better than what we've seen in the playoffs. For that reason that you pointed out, this wasn't just a casual performance where he got spotted six runs and he could coast his way through five or six innings. He had to fight and he got no run support early on and he came through. That right there could absolutely be something.
Did
that
Houston think less of him? Because they went up there, like you said.
No,
they had
trouble with him in the regular season. He pitched well against
the playoffs.
But this is different.
Look at his rails because he sucked in the playoffs, and all of a sudden he gets out there. They just looked like they were disordered. I mean, they just came. they were cocky. They weren't into it as a test.
I almost think that it was the Red Sox who kind of intimidated them.
That's what I mean.
Bregman came out with that video that he posted earlier in the week, and I think they kind of used that to their advantage. Price, even in the sixth inning of that game, looked at him, and you could read his words, post that.
Yeah.
So they were cocky.
That's what I mean.
And
they look cocky.
You guys know you've got to have that attitude. You can't sit there and be fearful of your opponent. You have to sit there and say, you guys suck, and you know we're going to take care of you. I think they have that right now. I think Alex Cora is a big part of developing that, and I just don't think this Dodgers series is going to be a big deal. I happen to think Houston is a better team than the Dodgers.
Dodgers starting pitching is
pretty good. You've got Jensen late in the game, but I don't think it's a great bullpen, and they can hit home runs, but you can too. I don't see this as a long series. I would not be surprised at all if this goes 4 or 5 games. Would not surprise
me. I wouldn't either. They're on a roll. Surprised. They got confidence, and they got the pitching.
And we're going to have it all for you all week long. Lots to talk about this week. All right, we get back to your phone call. 617-779-7937. All right, right back here on the Real Post Game Show. 38-31 was the final score. The Patriots win their fifth game of the season. They are now 5-2. It was not pretty. In fact, it was pretty ugly at times, and there were some great plays by the offense, some bad plays.
Stop casting.
Same thing with the defense, same thing with the special team, some good plays, bad plays.
But a win.
But in the end, you win, and you win your first road game, so you take it.
Ugly or pretty, we'll take the win.
Exactly. Blake is up in New Hampshire, next up here on the Real Post Game Show. Hi, Blake.
Blake.
How's it going, boys?
Good.
Hey, Blake.
How are
you?
Hey, if Michelle is out for the rest of the season, is there a possibility? I'll just throw this out there now. I know these crazy trade rumors get started, but is there a possibility that David Johnson could be picked up?
So you'd have to trade for him?
Yeah.
Before the deadline?
He's got
the third round pick.
I believe he's got 3 years left on his deal. So Arizona probably would have to take, because once you make the trade.
How old is he now?
He's not that old.
I think 6th to 7th year. Is that what it is?
Yeah, he's not that old.
Oh, running back's get worn down.
Yeah, but he's not that. Yeah, you're right. You get 5 or 6
How
years
about Shady
out of him.
So 20,
in that respect,
26 years old.
26 years old. That's not bad.
He'll be 27 in 2 months.
I believe he's got 3 years left in his deal, Blake. And so the money you give up front in a bonus deal, because he signed a new contract last year, you have to absorb that money, which means that Arizona would have to absorb, I would guess, somewhere around $20 million in
that's
dead
a good
money.
Move by that.
Oh, okay.
So that's a tough trade to make for Arizona. Now, if you're New England, if I'm Arizona, I'm getting an awful lot back in return. I might think about doing it. But why would New England give an awful lot? What are you going to give up?
Well, I was thinking because he wasn't playing that well, it might be a good move for both teams.
No, even worse. Yeah. Why would you do that? You know, Arizona might sit there and say, we could absorb the dead money, but which is a lot of money to absorb.
Especially a running back.
Yeah,
he's averaging, three?
Hey, Glenn, as always, you know it all, my friend. Thank you, though.
Wow. So don't encourage him, Blake. What are you doing, Blake? Why would you encourage him?
He knows it all. He'll say he knows it all.
Averaging 3.2 yards per carry right now. You know,
the line sucks. The defense quarterback sucks.
Yeah, well, that's a good point too. You know, you got what?
Wouldn't it be more likely they get a guy that's an aging guy? Who did they bring in? A couple? Steven Jackson. They brought him in a couple years ago.
He couldn't run.
Right. That was frightening.
That was terrible.
Okay, so here we go.
He lost everything.
So here we go. They had a terrific, still had a very good offense, right?
How about Blunt?
That's a prime example of it. So you bring in a guy like Steve.
Well, you keep saying Blunt.
He's on a team.
What is wrong with you?
He's got a contract. He's on Detroit.
Wait, is someone else
on
the
team? You're going to trade
him? Is someone else on the team?
Oh, and you got connections with him. You got Bob Quinn.
You got connection with them. They might need a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Oh, I see that.
I think Belichick gets some pictures of Patricia.
That might be. There might be some pictures.
You never know.
But that's more likely to happen, right? I would look for an aging guy that's out there. Who's aging?
An Asian guy?
Said an aging guy.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Why do you go along with him? Why do you even go along with him?
That's what he said.
Why do you even answer
Greek guy?
Him?
Oh,
all right? Why do you even answer him?
So who's out there? Adrian Peterson is actually playing
Shady
pretty well.
McCoy,
so
Buffalo's looking to trade him.
Oh, he's got some issues, though.
He's got issues.
Who causes issues better than Tom Brady and Belichick?
He's got assault issues.
Then he got a lot more issues.
Like he may be going back to court here soon, right?
Also missed the entire game today.
Mm-hmm. He missed the entire game today?
He came out very early in the game and missed
the
entire game.
He knew it. He was smart. He knew it was going to happen.
Say that again?
So he took a shot to the head.
He played like one or two series and then got injured and was out the rest of the game with a head injury.
There you go.
Right.
In this case, somebody else hit him.
He hit himself to take him out. I'm not going to play under this power.
I guess so.
So, this, so
but,
this,
they, but they're going to have to. But they're going to have to find somebody out there, right?
Somebody obviously is going to be NFC. No one in the AFC that could be in contention wants to give the Patriots any extra guys, correct? So there'll be someone out there they want to unload for a season.
So you tell me, can you just drop a? And I would think you could. You can drop a running back into another team in the middle of the season. It's far more difficult when you're talking about receiver, when you're talking about certainly
right,
quarterback.
Right, right.
I mean, I know people do this all the time. Oh, you got to get a quarterback in the middle of the season or whatever for other teams. That's very difficult
very,
to
very.
Do. But a running back, can I just drop a running back in?
More so easily because, first off, you'll be bringing in someone with way more experience than Sony Michel had, and Sony Michel was, you know, six games into his NFL career. So, yeah, you could bring in a running back. Running backs are much more instinctive. Their job assignment is much more instinctive than a lot of other players. You know, maybe a pass rusher is the same sort of idea. You know, you tell the pass rusher, go get that quarterback, whatever you have to do. Tell that ball
make
carrier,
sure twist.
Here's the hole. Here's the hole we want you to run into. Follow your blocks and do what you have to do. Same thing.
Most
you
teams are the same. You know, as far as terminology for the passes and all the different things they do there, sight adjustment, it's much more difficult. But like I said, it's a natural, more natural thing for a running back.
Yeah.
Well, so the answer is yes.
Offensive lineman. You can do it with an offensive lineman. You can drop them in a little bit.
Yeah, some. Right? But you got to work with the guy next to you on either side if you're a guard or center.
Like
you gotta,
fish.
You got to be able to work. Yeah. You got to
swimming.
You got to be able to work and know what you, good offensive lineman, guard tackle tandems. They know that if they're seeing something, the guy next to them is seeing the same thing, and they know how to react, and they know what.
But you know this,
Steve.
Most offensive linemen, they're herds. They talk to each other. You know what I mean? There's a lot of communication. If you're a running back, you're going back to by yourself, one back set. You don't know what to talk to. Next
they were talking
linemen
about
talk to each other and help each other out.
They talked a little bit about Trent Brown on the telecast today, and rightfully so, because they brought him in from San Francisco. Great potential, great upside. He was a right tackle out there. They bring him in. They draft the kid Wynn, but to me, he's more of a guard than he is, looking at his body, than he is a tackle, even though
looks
he was
like
terrific in college, right. And so they drop Trent Brown in that left tackle spot. He's been better than Nate Solder this year. So you pass on Nate Solder, who is now the highest paid offensive lineman in the National Football League. Steve, you watch all these Giants games. Mm-hmm. He has really struggled. That offensive line has struggled, but a big part of it has been Solder. I don't know how sound he is right now. Trent Brown has been terrific.
Maybe the Wizards, Skanekia, because he's very good with this play. He corrects things. He's like a guru. So he goes out there. Solder wasn't that strong. He's very athletic, but he gets high a lot and can get pushed. You can't push Brown.
Or maybe the fact that Tom Brady gets through the ball a lot quicker than Eli.
That is a big part.
That doesn't hurt.
So Tom Brady does make offensive linemen. He does. We're trying to say something nice about Brady. Shut up.
Why do you hate Brady?
Yeah, I love Brady.
Do you hate Brady?
What's wrong with you?
Brady does. Brady makes your offensive linemen better.
Agreed.
I still think that Trent Brown has been an unbelievable fine when you drop him in there and you weren't willing to pay the money that Nate Solder got.
And you hear what
Giant fans are saying about Nate Solder. They're pissed. Let me bring up one more and then we'll take a break. Malcolm Butler. So
you
can argue the whole thing about Super Bowl and why he didn't play, and I don't want to relive all those moments again. Malcolm Butler has absolutely sucked down in Tennessee. Should see what people are saying and talking about him down there. Pro Football Focus has him rated as one of the lowest cornerbacks in the league. He's given up like six touchdowns now. He is horrible. He seems out of position all the time. He has been a complete disaster for them, and they paid him, what, $65 million.
So I think Bill was right?
He might have been ahead of the curve.
All the crap he took from the prognosticators.
The rump swamp. He's carrying Belichick's pail again. But he might have been right about him, Fred, because so far Malcolm Butler has been a disaster. Not bad. A disaster in Tennessee. Yeah. And I'll guarantee you're going to see them in 3 weeks. I guarantee if Malcolm Butler is still starting, he may not be starting by that time. If he's still starting, they'll go right at him.
You almost have to start a guy that's making $65 million.
They're going
to
go right at him.
Why wouldn't you?
Yep.
What happened today, guys, when they went for two instead of one to tie the game?
Tennessee.
Could be the undoing.
Yeah.
You know,
well, Vrabel's getting too risky for a guy first time around.
He's fine. He's got a 5-year contract.
No, I'm saying this team could collapse.
Oh, fold. I see what you're saying.
This season, I know he's going to be there for a while, but that
or they could look at it and say, "Hey, our coach has confidence in us. He wants to go for it right now." So,
you know, he's done this.
But you lost.
He's done this a couple times already this year. Yeah. So he's taken a lot of risk, and when it works,
right.
And you win, you sit there and say, "Yeah, we believe in a coach." You know, yep. He's taking gambles. He believes in us. When it fails a couple times,
a pass on the 1 yard line because there's
with an average quarterback.
An average quarterback, it's a cluster there, and everyone's close to the line.
Crazy. What kind of cluster would that be? All right, we'll take a break, and then we'll get one more segment here. Now we got a few minutes remaining in the program. We got calls, and Steve and I have made an executive decision. Steve and I that we're going to take phone calls. Fred's all pissed off because he wanted to hear for Tom Brady. See, the other station gets to play Tom Brady because they have the rights right after.
Right.
We get to play him sometimes a little bit later on. But why play him now? We know the outcome of the game. There are people who want to call.
Brady.
Hey, Chris, just put Brady on in the background. Can you put Brady in the background? Good. You can hear Brady in the background. Will that be okay while we take phone calls?
It's the best we can do.
Yeah, well, we'll take
phone calls. If you control everything.
You listen to Brady.
You're a Brady hater.
You listen to Brady.
Don't start humping my leg when Brady talks, okay?
You listen to Brady. Steve and I are going to listen to the call.
I don't know how the hell
like Mike and Derry. I'd rather hear from Mike and Derry. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
How are you, Mike?
Big O, how you doing, guys?
Terrific, buddy.
Big O hates Brady.
Good. Great Pats win, and Big O, you know, you're a blowhard talking about Malcolm Butler like that.
Why? He sucks this year. He's awful.
That guy made one of the most famous plays in New England Patriots history.
He did.
You're right. You're correct.
You're right.
Now you would be kissing his toes.
You're correct.
No, he did. But you can't live with that forever.
Who cares what he's doing, Big O? I wish nothing but the best for Malcolm Butler.
I do, too. I do, too.
But maybe they made the right decision.
It doesn't work here.
So should you deny that he's playing poorly?
No, who cares?
I'm listening to Brady now. I'm not listening to Mike and Derek.
Turn him down.
I'm with you, Fred.
No, it's just making
that's the attack, right?
That listen, what he did was great, but he's not playing well now.
Is it? Talking about he's happy that he's
no, he wasn't. He wasn't talking about being happy. Nobody said happy.
He's a nice kid. But all I said was they might have made the right
decision.
Okay, they might have made the right decision, Mike. You don't want to believe that because he made one of the greatest plays in Patriots history, which I agree with you. It was.
No one's going
so
to.
Go buy
no.
No one's going to. Pats weren't going to match $35 million for an average.
Of a line.
We sucked last year.
What's that? Say that again. Say that again, Mike.
Am I correct, Steve?
I didn't hear you the first time. Say it again.
He may be done. Who knows, right?
Okay, so does that mean you can't talk about how he's playing right now?
No, you can still talk about how he's
playing.
Okay,
so then what's the problem?
What is the issue?
What's the issue?
That's what we were doing.
I just thought Big O was kind of like,
No.
Big O's like,
no.
Well, who cares?
No, wait, hold on. No. Glenn wasn't saying.
No, football is a young man's sport. It's NFL, not for long.
Listen, take your cliches, all right? But Glenn, listen, because you love
his players, 41.
That not for long is really working for Brady. It works well.
Come on. Why are you dumping on Brady? He's old.
Come on, listen. Nobody was having fun.
Cost the Patriots to rent Le'Veon Bell for the year. I don't know contracts.
Zero. Not going to happen.
I don't know free agency or franchise tag. What would it cost the Patriots to rent Le'Veon Bell for the year?
You'd have to ask what would the Pittsburgh Steelers want, and would they deal
They'd
him?
They never deal. I brought that up earlier.
Why would Pittsburgh?
They hate the Patriots.
Would Pittsburgh deal him?
No one in the AFC would deal him.
You're going to give him more money, Mike? Because that's what he wants right now. The reason he's not playing for Pittsburgh is he wants more money. You're going to give him more money right now?
There's no way to rent them. That's my point.
No.
He's not playing right now, Mike. Mike.
He goes off and makes his big
Mike,
money.
Mike, you have Mike, to have both sides.
Mike, he's under contract right now, and he's not playing because he wants more money.
But he's franchise tagged right
now,
right?
Correct.
Then you answered it, Big O. Then you answered it. That's all I asked. Okay.
It's not the cash you'd have to pay them that matters. Because that would be, I don't know, $6 million. So whatever half the going rate is for a franchise kicker, a franchise player, it's what you would have to give up. And Pittsburgh, if they were going to give him up, they would ask a certain amount. If they were to give him up to the Patriots, they'd ask for the world.
Listen, nobody's taking away.
They would never do it.
Nobody's ever going to take away what Malcolm Butler did in the Super Bowl against Seattle. That's going to live forever. We have video. We can see that. It's that moment
is always
going to be there.
The next year, but
right?
He
had a bad year last year.
No, after the Super Bowl. Yeah, he had a pretty good year that year.
Yeah, but last year he did not play well.
No, right.
And he did not play well in the playoffs.
No, he didn't.
And he didn't play for a single down. A single down in the Super Bowl, and people thought he did something wrong, something evil, something criminal. None of that happened. He didn't play because it was part of the game plan. He wasn't focused. He wasn't ready to play.
Those are his words.
Right, his words. In the offseason, Tennessee pays him a boatload of money, and they're probably regretting it right now.
Yep. Well, you know what it is with Mike, the guy that was calling. It's kind of his binky, and you know when you start saying something slightly negative about one of your binkies, these guys get a little carried away. You know, if you say something bad about a player that you're in love with, and you know,
Brady's talking bad about Brady.
Brady's still talking.
Okay, be quiet, guys. Let me listen.
He's brilliant. He is brilliant.
His verbiage is brilliant.
Who's he talking about now?
He's talking about the world.
Here's Mark in Brooklyn.
He is the world. 35th anniversary of Tom Brady.
Mark, you're the last caller tonight. Go ahead.
Hey, Mark. Sure.
Hey, good segue there with the comments about bringing in Le'Veon Bell, who I really can't really stand. Yes, he can run.
I love the way he runs.
But it's fine, yeah. But anyway, my main point was I'd be focusing on defensive acquisition at this point.
No.
And he's had four – hear me out. Just had four games, you know, roughly 40 points with or without Malcolm, without Michelle or Gronkowski.
I'd love to go along with the defense. They're going to need a running back if what we saw today with Sonny Michel is a serious injury.
It's an offensive world.
Yep.
All right, we're done. We're out of here. Hey, Fred, when you drive your bike out of here, 35 miles an hour, go slow.
Go slow.
I was doing 31.
Prashan took care of us today. He was terrific, wasn't he? Rossi was here for the start of the show, and then
you're
he leaves like he was important.
I was handcuffed to the side of the road.
He did absolutely nothing.
Rossi's
next,
a very important
person. Real postgame show is next Monday night against the Buffalo Bills.
I'll be with you
tomorrow afternoon, 2 o'clock, with my boys Merlone and Fourier and Bill Belichick. Have a great night, everyone.